Cassidy asked me to announce that Throne Room resumes this Friday at 7 p.m. So, Cassidy, a major announcement. And speaking of Cassidy, and, you know, she wants to go to Bethel, and we're believing God for her. I think maybe she's got about half of her tuition raised. So we're going to receive a special offering for her to bless her, and hopefully enough money will come in to pay off her tuition. And be praying for her, because she probably is going to need a job out there and some other stuff. So the Lord's got all that worked out and handled. And pray for Mom and Daddy as they as they work with her on this great grand adventure of faith. Somebody else asked me to announce something. I forgot. Are we good? Okay, Earl has one. Sweet.
Turning to Lord. Saturday morning at 8 o'clock at Eagle Braves. Then we're going to gather up and go out to Gene and Toby's to help them with some yard work and getting the property ready to sell. I know that we need some chainsaws, and I guess, Mike, you'll bring your trailer and all the
bring all that guy.
Yeah,
you know, bring whatever you got. That's because you never know. You know, so it's better to use your own stuff if you got it. So if you don't have it, I'm sure somebody will have it. If we all bring what we can, then somebody who comes barefooted will help put shoes on them so they can work.
And Gene has offered to feed us lunch, and that's worth the trip and the sweat right there. Okay, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Can't beat that with a stick. Praise the Lord. Try to get that one right from now. So, he's good. Always good to have testimonies. Amen. Always good. I'm on. So go to Psalms 119, and we'll cover a couple of points. I've got way too many points here, so won't try to rush through it, and just go for 30, 40 minutes, and then let you guys get prayed for, and then bless you. Go out and get you some chicken. Psalms 119, verse 57. It says this, David writes, "You are my portion, O Lord, and I have said that I would keep your words. I intrigued your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. And the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy." And he says, "Teach me your ways." And then I'd like for you just to maybe mark, or in your notes, if you're writing notes, just write down Luke 15 about the teachings on Jesus between the prodigal son and the older son. It's Luke 15, 11 through 32. But for time's sake, I won't read that. Talks about how the younger son asked for his inheritance and went and squandered all of it. And when he realized he was broke and eating pig husk, he thought to himself. I love that phrase in Scripture where it says, "And he came to himself." When he did, he realized, you know, my father's servants have it better than what I have. And so he goes back, you know the story, "I'm not worthy to be your son." Of course, the father accepted him as a son. Again, never ceased to be a son. Put the robe on him and welcomed him back, killed the fatted calf. You know, they had a hallelujah party. The older son got mad because he'd been slaving all these years. You remember the story? And he went and complained to his father, and there's that powerful line in the parable where the father looks at the older son and says, "All that I have is yours." And the revelation there is that the older son didn't know that. Didn't know that all that the father had was his. And so it's all about inheritance. It's about making the Lord your portion. And I want to just kind of talk about that for a few minutes today. the Lord knows whose his portion is. I'm going to write, you can write this down or just listen. Deuteronomy 32:9, it says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance." You are his portion. Isn't that good? You're the portion, his portion. Leviticus 26:11-12 says, "Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you, and I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." Of course, the familiar passage of Scripture over in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." And then he says, "So that," in other words, here's the reason, here's the reason, "that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not obtained mercy, but now you have," it says, "obtained mercy." Here's another one, Hebrews 11:16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He's talking about the future there, obviously. But it, you kind of get the point. God wants to hang out with you and I. God desires for us to be his people, and he wants to be our God. But here's the addendum. It has to be his way. Not because he's stuck up and selfish. It's because he's wise and he's good and he's loving. And his ways are perfect. All of his ways are perfect. And so you know that whatever he has for you and I is good. And the more we get to know him, the better it gets. You know, our job as believers is to know him. So read the book. The book is a good thing to read, right? Read the book, meditate on the book, ask God to speak to you, pray. That's a good thing, right? Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not just you vomiting all your stuff. It's a two-way conversation. So pray and listen. I put in my notes that God has made his choice, and it's you and me. He has made his choice, and it's you and me. You are my choice. God says in Deuteronomy 32:10, "And he led him about. He instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye." We are the apple of his eye. So here's the question. Will we choose him as our portion? Proverbs 3 comes to mind. It's not in my note, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Man, what a powerful scripture. Trust in him. It's an adventure that he gives us. Are you like the prodigal son that wastes his portion? Are you and I, are we like the older son that never discovered his portion? You know, it's a choice. Choose him today as your portion. And so today, as I think about this, my thoughts always go back to my dad often my thoughts go back to my dad when I'm reading scriptures and stuff. I've never heard this. I think I've told you that my dad, before he died, gave us the will. And, had it all divided up and everything. Of course, one of the little subsections there was, "And if any of my children object this will, he or she is automatically excluded from this will, and their portion goes to the other that don't object this will." And so I remember two things. I remember saying, "Well, I think this is great. I like this will, you know." And the other thing, after he told us that, and he started giving us the inheritance while he was alive. And I asked him, I said, "Dad, what are you doing this for?" He said, "Because I wanted to have the joy of watching Mike kick the drink over on the carpet." No. He said, "I want to have the joy of seeing what you guys do with it." Of course, that put the fear of God in my heart because it's kind of like, I want to be a good steward of this, you know. And so I, you know, took the check, one of the checks that I got, took it down there and invested it well, and we still have it today. You know, it's a little nest egg that is growing ever so slowly, but ever so surely. And so it's all about understanding the inheritance that you and I have in walking with Him in the kingdom of God and being able to steward what He has given to us. It's one thing to be able to steward it. In order to do that, you got to know about it. And it's another thing to know about it, but in order to know about it, you got to know the one that's giving it, right? I would have never known about my inheritance. You know, I'm like you. You know, Daddy was 92, and it was kind of like, well, I'm probably going to outlive him. I was wondering, I wonder what it's going to be, you know? Yeah, come on now, don't look at me so holy. You do the same thing. And when it came in, instead of going, whoopee, I'm going to go buy a boat, I'm going to go buy a boat, I mean, the fear of the Lord came upon me. And the Bible says that we leave a legacy, an inheritance to our children. And it's not that, you know, I'm going to leave everything to my children, because quite frankly, I'm going to spend some of it. But I do want to leave a legacy to them, something that I impart to them out of my life, which includes material things, but more importantly, the values that I hold dear to me, not because I think they're just good values, but because I have picked up those values from this, and I choose to pass them on, you know, to my sons. Now, everybody makes a choice. Okay, I understand that. Your children may grow up and disappoint you one day. But I was intrigued, and I'm trying to encourage you in that. Some of you may have grown children here. That scripture about the word, when it gets in them, it doesn't come back void. You know, there might be some wild seeds that are sown during that time. But I keep up with the news, not a lot. I really don't do Hollywood that much, but Cyrus, Miley, she's been in the news, you know, it was a big one on Fox, you know, how the big stories are up top and the little ones down here, and it was a big one or a medium one, and she's talking about, I'm going clean, and I'm thinking, did she get baptized in the Holy Ghost? I mean, what happened to this woman? I mean, this woman was doing all kind of weird stuff just to, you know, make money and stuff, so I started researching her hair. I know I'm strange, okay, I know that, But I started researching her life and stuff, and her great-granddaddy was a Pentecostal preacher. Pentecostal preacher. And this woman's up there doing, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. And it just made me wonder about this legacy, this portion, if you'll allow me to say it that way, that he endeavored, he and she, I'm sure the grandma was involved in it, passed down, and eventually, guess what? It took root. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of your life and what you believe and how you live it. Is the Lord your portion? And are we passing that portion on? If you'll look in the Psalms that I just read you, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It talks about I will, I thought. I have said, I intrigued, I thought, I made haste, but I have not. And at midnight, I will rise. And so I just thought, being, you know, going to school, I just named this the eyes of portion. And I've got several eyes here that I think are critical as it relates to not only just receiving his portion, but what we do with that portion. And again, we won't get through many of them today. So as we do that, I want to just give you the first one. And the first one is this, and I'm talking about the portion of God, the inheritance. I want you to get this across. The inheritance that He's already given. It's ours. Okay, there's a lot that we cry out for and that we pray for. And I don't know about you, but in my life, there's pretty much when I start asking for things, God will interrupt me and say, I've already given it to you. Quit asking me that. Go do something. Now, I know that sounds humanistic, and I don't mean it to be humanistic, but when he's already given you the goods, go do something with the goods. Don't be like the older son that worked his entire life and didn't even know about the inheritance. He never asked. Are you ready for this? Ask. Ask. I mean, I could stop right here and digress a whole lot and not go any further. Nancy and I, in our prayer lives, man, we're seeing stuff. I mean, our prayer journals are like just being filled with just like, Lord, can you slow down just a little bit? I can't journal this fast enough to see all that the Lord is doing for us. It's just amazing. But the first one would be this: integrate. Don't separate. Integrate into the Lord's purpose. Don't separate yourself from the Lord's purpose. You are my portion, verse 57, O Lord, and I have said that I will keep your words. Integrate into the Word of God. Let that Word of God integrate into your life. Let it consume you. Let it burn you with holy passion and holy fear. When we first, and by the way, we still pray 3 days a week. Sometimes we can't make all 3 days, but somebody's always here Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. I wasn't here this past Saturday because I was packing Nana up trying to get her ready to go. You know, when you're 82, it takes a while to get you packed up. So it's kind of like, let me just pick you up and put you in the car. Anyhow, edit that out of the thing. So, okay, thank you. The portion there is that the Lord is my portion. It means a part, a share. It's the award, or award that the Lord gives to you. It's the amount of food that is served. How many of you remember Joseph and how he divvied up a double portion for the younger brother that he didn't know because he had been sold into slavery? The portion he gave double to his younger brother because of the heart connection that was there. You see, we get the double portion. We run around and as charismatic, we say, I got the double portion, I got the double portion. Well, the reality is, yeah, you got the whole deal. You've got everything at your disposal of that is God Himself and as He will relate that to you. So even that word that came this morning, you may be surprised by stuff. But our experience is that God always counters the surprise with His suddenly. Suddenly He will come to that situation. Suddenly He will show Himself strong on your behalf and deliver you out of that mire or muck or difficult situation, whatever it may be. Your task and my task is to remain faithful in the midst of it. It's to remain faithful. He wants to give that share which belongs to you as his son and daughter. And here's the fear of the Lord part. He expects you to do something with it. Let that sink in. Matthew 25, the talents of the one, the three, and the five. You know how the five doubled, the three doubled, and he came to the one. He had a bad relationship with the father. He said, I know you're a hard man. Well, he's not a hard man. He's a good God. He's not hard. And he said, so I hid this. And so he thinks he's doing good. If you read this in the Greek, when he offered back that one talent, that guy was going, I'm good. I didn't waste what you gave me. I'm good. Here it is. You gave me this. Here it's back. And so he was thinking, hey, I'm good, man. I'm right up there with the other dudes. And the Lord, if you'll read Matthew 25, he calls him two things, wicked and lazy. And then he starts to describe his eternity using words like flames and weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not a good thing. All right? And I don't want to sound, I don't want to, well, maybe I do. Maybe I want to beat you in the head with the Bible. But, I just want to make sure that we're not... we're not clinging to some erroneous doctrine that says, I get my ticket to heaven and everything's good. You get your ticket to heaven, you change. Because the grace comes into your life and it changes you. From that moment, you're becoming more and more like Him. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so it's you got to integrate into it. It's a part of the whole. And thank you. It's a part of the whole. And if you separate yourself from His intentions, it ain't going to be good. It just won't be good. I'm telling you, it's not going to be good. It's seen more clearly in that next phase. He said, I have promised to keep your word. You know, when I do weddings, I don't do near as much as I used to. Matter of fact, I turn everybody down except for close friends and, you know, people here. I could really make a good living out of Vegas. I could. It really talks about, you know, in a marriage, you make those vows. And in a way, when we ask Christ into our heart, he's the scripture describes him as jealous. He's a jealous lover. And he desires every aspect of your life. And he desires you to be, the best. You know, this whole thing in our community these days that when everybody plays a game and everything, that one person gets, you know, everybody gets the little trophies. Everybody gets the trophies. That's not life. In real life, there's winners and there's losers. All right? There's winners and losers. And Jesus, when he comes in and saves you, he looks at you as a winner from that moment on. He expects you to win. Not to lose, but to win. Win in your personal attitudes. Win in the way that you look at life. Win and as it relates to walking in the kingdom of God and experiencing the fullness of that in your life and through your life. It means to keep within the boundaries. You know, if you step out of bounds, you lose. I remember in high school, this is so silly, but I remember in high school we had the track out back, you know. I think at one loop was a 220, and you had to do it four times for, you know, a mile. And this, we, you know, you have track meets, and everybody, all the schools come together. And so it was like a mile, you know, and everybody was running. This one poor kid, you know, he was bad. He wasn't in good shape. And he was probably almost a half a lap behind the rest of them. So going into that last lap, he just decided to cut across the field and get in front of the pack and run in front of the pack, and, you know, and the ref's sitting there going like this, you know, I said, son, get, you know, you need help going down the road, yes, sir. Yeah, he didn't win. He thought maybe he could win, you know. I don't know. Maybe he was praying that the refs and the whatever they call them in track meet, that he would be blind, you know, and not see it, you know. It's like, man, he was fast. How did he get in front of the pack? But you compete according to the rules. That's why he said, I have kept your word. I've kept your word. If you step out of bounds, you're disqualified. Remember Saul in 1 Samuel 15, that he despised the word of Samuel. And he kept all the animals. And he didn't kill the king like he was supposed to. And then when he said, you know, hey, I've done what you said. You know, Samuel comes in and he said, oh, glory to God, I did what you said. And Samuel went, well, what is all this sheep noise I'm hearing? Well, I've saved them. Then you get religious. I've saved the best to make sacrifices to the Lord. I mean, it sounds good, doesn't it? But that's not what he said. He said, kill the animals, wipe them out. Other times he allowed them to enjoy the spoils of their effort. But this time he said, no. And it cost him the kingdom. In the end of his life, he was in the witchcraft trying to get direction. The witch of Endor, you remember? Do you read it? He was consulting the witch of Endor and seeing if, you know, everything was going to be okay with this last battle of his life. And it wasn't. He died, and his son died as well in that battle. Man, let me tell you, your choices will define your direction. Let me say that again. Your choices will define your direction. How many of you know, when I was in, my undergraduate degree was in applied math, and I took a whole year of calculus. That was fun. But one of the things I learned was about vectors. And you can be off 1 degree at the point where you start, and 100 miles out, you're going to be off hundreds of miles. So what I'm trying to say is that if you obey 90% of what God's saying to you, and then you throw in that 10% of selfishness in there, by the time you get a year out or 18 months out, you're going to be so confused and kind of in a daze about what happened to you and what should be going on. And you'll look at others that kept it right on mark with what God was saying, and they're prospering, and God is blessing them, and they've got all kind of cool stuff that's happening in their lives. I'm just trying to get to you today that if you're going to walk in the portion that God has for you, integrate into His Word. Don't separate yourself from it. Here's good theology. He's smarter than you. He really is. He's a pretty smart dude, if I can say that with respect. He's a smart God. He knows what's going on. So keep to the priorities of His Word. Don't be like Saul. Again, Luke 15:31, and he said to him, to the older son, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours." Can you just meditate on it? Maybe that's a good thing for your lesson this week. Luke 15:31. Meditate on it. Begin to ask yourself, then what is mine? What has He given to me? How does that apply? In my, I have a group. Actually, I'm fixing to birth another one. But I have two groups, discipleship groups that I meet outside. Most of them don't come to church yet. And I always ask them after we discuss a passage of Scripture, and they kick it around. It's really good. I keep it like maybe 3 or 4, iron sharpening iron type of thing. And after we get through kicking it around, I always ask, okay, fine, what does this look like in your life? How does this look in your life? I mean, if all these ideas are within the mark of what the Scriptures are saying, then what's that going to look like in your life? What does it look like to carry with an understanding, I'm carrying the portion of God with me? I'm carrying that portion with me. Let me ask you a question. And for those of you who want to go into the ministry, always number your notes, because otherwise you'll get confused. Would you rather have me give you $1 million? Or would you rather have me give you a business that generates $1 million every year? We are in the Father's business. And He's always profitable. Never goes in debt. Proverbs 13:22 says this: "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." We all get excited about that, and I've been in charismatic, you know, services, and we all, you know, get pumped up, and we'll quote that verse, and, you know, and things of that nature. But there's another side to the coin. You know, anybody here, let me just ask a question. Anybody here that you know is a rascal? Let me translate that for you. Really a bad sinner? And they just come up with all their money and go, here's my wealth for you because you're righteous. I haven't heard that testimony yet. Anybody heard that testimony? I mean, if they want to do it, I'm wide open. You know what I mean? Because the counterpart is this. See, the counterpart is Luke 19:13, where Jesus said, do business till I come. Do business. I mean, get in there, get your hands dirty. You got to learn how to do the stuff. You know, pray for people. Prophesy over people. I had a lady the other day call me. She was from out of state, and she was real, you know, real interested in the ladies. By the way, that offer is still available if any of you like to think about getting it. But I've been advertising now for over a month, 2 months really, about a ladies' ministry and having a coordinator come in. I just feel like that's what the Lord wants to do. And the Lord prepped me for this long period of time by taking almost a month to get my toilets running because the pipe was busted. And everybody I called, you know, the business is so booming here, you can't hardly get a plumber to your house. I mean, because they're putting in all this new plumbing and stuff, you know. You know how I got that guy to my house? Every Monday. Hey, can I come to your house and use your toilet? Oh, Mr. Shiver, I promise I'm coming. Yeah, today? Well, maybe not today. Tomorrow? Well, I'm going to do my best. How about Wednesday? I promise I'm getting there. Okay, by Thursday, I'm going to have to come to your house because I got to go. Now, I'm embellishing her there a little bit, but every Monday I'd call and say, have you forgotten me? No, you're on the list. I've got this going, I got that going. And so-and-so's got all, I've got to put in these drain lines. And that new business, you know all these. I said, yeah, I know all of that. Are you going to come get me? I promise I'm coming. 3-1. Hey, you remember me? 4 weeks, he finally came. Guess what? When he got there, I made an executive decision. Instead of a 3-inch pipe, I got me a 4-inch pipe. That baby, it's going to take a lot to clog that thing up. Let me tell you something. When that thing gets clogged, I'm going to have to call 3 plumbers to come and take care of it. And so that just prepared me like, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to keep advertising. God has someone there to take this lady's ministry to a new level. I can't do it primarily because I'm not a lady, in case you haven't noticed. So she called me, and this little girl from up north, she was a graduate from Randy Clark School. I thought, yeah, that's going to be pretty good. She's in the late 30s. You know, I said, that's a perfect age, you know. So she was driving all around. She called me. She said something really silly. She said, I like the way you write. I said, well, what does that have to do with the price of beans? You know, I'm not. She said, I think I'm supposed to come. I said, okay, well, let me send it to you. Well, you know, we're not paying $150,000 the first year. We just can't afford that. So she wrote me back. She said, I don't think it's me. I said, okay, that's fine. And she said, I think it's supposed to be a lady from within your church, and her name is Sherry. I said, well, that's great. She said, really? I said, there's only one problem. She said, what? There's not a Sherry in my church. She said, oh. I said, well, maybe she's coming. Maybe she's coming. Sherry's coming. I don't know. But the point is, she tried. And I really enjoyed the fact that she tried. So I said, Lord, if it's supposed to be a Sherry, then let it rock and roll. Well, I know, but she spelled it Sherry. That's why I didn't. Of course, if it's because we're not spelling it right, jump on it, girl, jump on it. So that's why I didn't think of you. Do business till I come. I didn't bring my credit cards in. Well, I don't normally bring them in. I got more credit card than Carter has liver pills. How many of you remember when you were 18 and 20? You tried to get every credit card in the world, and they kept writing you back saying, you're crazy, you don't have any credit, we're not going to give you the time of day. Remember all that? Then when you worked and you build up credit and things got better than everybody. There's not. Matter of fact, I got 5 this week. Now my boys, they're getting credit card offers, all this kind of crazy stuff. But in my card, I've got one card that's been with me. I've been with this facility for almost 20-something years. I can go in debt in a matter of 5 seconds over $20,000 if I want to. All I got to do is pick up the phone and just say, hey, send me the money. They say, yeah. And they'll send it. You know, they'll send it to me. Yeah. Well, actually, it's 4.5. It is. It's not bad at all. It's a credit card when Nancy worked at the Bank of America, and they forgot about us. And she got a special rate of 4.25, and they just forgot. And, hey, I'm not going to tell them. You know, my point is this. I guess I'll just get one point done today. Is that my wallet kind of represents the portion that my family has. And at any time, I can pull it out and use it. Not only the plastic part, but, you know, there's a section there that has money in it, you know. And granted, sometimes there's only, you know, $8, and other times there's quite a few thousand in there because, yeah, I'm going on vacation or whatever the case may be. But God is not an Indian giver. He has given you gifts and talents. We all have one calling. It's the calling of the kingdom. But we have a variety of gifts. And God is looking for you to do business with that gift so that you reflect to the world that you are the Lord's portion. Because if you're like me, I really enjoy rubbing shoulders with the people of the world. Not as much. I mean, I enjoy rubbing shoulders with you. Don't get me wrong, but they come up with all kind of ideas, and most of them are, you know, are simple and what sinful, yeah. And what I have discovered is that as I'll give you an example, I was Dick's Sporting Goods has become one of my favorite places to go. I love their shoes. I love their running stuff and shorts and stuff. They're just kind of expensive, and so I have to be careful. I was there yesterday. I was buying a pair of something. I forgot what it was. A shirt. And I walked up to the counter there, and it was a young lady. And I thought I had gotten this shirt on sale. My wife has taught me well. You don't buy anything regular price, right? You always buy on sale. So it was like a $28 shirt for $19.98. You know, it had the sign there, and they rung it up, and it was like with tax $30-something dollars. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought the sign said, and I've also learned to put it graciously because if you're dogmatic, there's chances you could be wrong, and then you have egg all over your face. And I said, oh, I thought the sign said, you know, such and such. So she called the manager over, and I explained. I said, now, I could be wrong. She said, let me go check it. So as she went to go check it, this nice young lady sit there, and I was, you know, just, you know, talking about, I hope I could be wrong, you know. I said, I thought it said that. She said, are you Terry Shiver? Now, that's a giveaway. I'm telling you, that is a giveaway. And I said, yeah, I am. Do I know you? She said, you taught me in school. I said, I did? And I said, was I good? And she said, yeah, you were good. You taught me. I said, math? She said, yeah, you taught me math. I said, well, good. So we got to talking. I said, tell me your name. I forgot your name. She told me her name. And she and she begins to, we begin to talk, and I said, well, what you been doing? She said, well, I was doing this, and this, and then I had to stop. I said, really, what happened? She said, well, she took a deep breath like that. She went, well, I got pregnant. I said, really? Yeah, little boy, little girl? She said, oh, it's a little boy. And I could tell she was hedging herself. She was totally waiting for me to condemn her. You know what I did? I whipped out my phone, brought up my grandkids. I said, look at my grandkids. And she, when I did, you could tell she just went. I mean, you know, at that point, I was the portion of God's love and mercy to her. You carry that portion with you. You know why I don't do the beating in the head with the Bible? Because people already know. They already know. They already know. They already know that they've made sinful choices. And so she started talking. You know what she did after that? She just started talking about how hard it was being a single parent. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, we're working on trying to get one of our closets up here. And I said, and I didn't want to go into details because I'm waiting on the lady to come to take it and develop it. But there I was buying a shirt, and I started doing business for the Father. That's two encounters I've had at Dick's Sporting Goods. Just going in there to buy shoes and other stuff. Just two divine encounters that I had. And I pray that as we continue to walk together, that our prayer that we would become supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural would become a reality for you and I. I was sharing some testimonies up in a meeting up out of state a couple of weeks ago, and one of the guys came over to me and said, you know, how do you do this? And I said, well, I'm not sure what do you mean? He said, do you just kind of make a list and then go try to do it? I said, no. He said, what do you do? I said, I just go buy groceries. I go get gas for my car. I buy running shoes. I buy shirts, T-shirts. Buy things for my kids. Buy groceries, you know, all these other things. And so, and when I'm there, I'm just very much aware that I carry him. Wherever I go, I carry him. And so it is not abnormal for someone to strike up a conversation and it just gubsells right into either sharing the gospel or having an opportunity to pray for that individual. Because I'm endeavoring, and I know you are too, to integrate into the portion that he's given to me. And I'll stop there for today, but the next point I'll tease you on, and it's simply this, to be intoxicated with his love. To be intoxicated with his love. And we'll look at, I don't know if I'll just do these straight through for the next couple of weeks or kind of sparse it around a little bit. We'll have to wait and see. I want you to stand with me. And I want to pray for you today.
So did you get the shirt on sale or not?
I did. She came back. She said, one of my employees put the sale sign on the wrong stack. I said, oh, okay. She said, but since it's our mistake, I'm going to give you the shirt on sale just like you are. I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And she said, you're welcome. And I looked at her and I said, I'll be back. She said, I thought so. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer real quick. And let me ask you just a simple question. Where are you in all of this? How would you rate yourself as it relates to integrating into his purposes and his word? How's your daily activity? Does it reflect the integration of the kingdom of God in your life? Now that you answered that, let's pray together. Father, you've heard all of our confessions this morning. You know exactly what's going on in our hearts and our minds. And God, we want to integrate into your purpose. We want to accept the portion and the inheritance that you've given to us and represent your portion to a lost and dying world, to our families, to our immediate family, to our extended families, to those that we work with, and wherever we may find ourselves. And so, God, we ask that whatever needs to transpire in our lives and in our thinking, that you would address those issues in us and bring forth something of the fullness of your presence in our lives as we relate to these various relationships that we have in what's called life. And so we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you that you've chosen us as the apple of your eye, that we are your portion, that we are the people of God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Let that royalty come forth with greater clarity and grace and mercy and, yes, power, Lord, in these days ahead as we enter in, especially in these summer months that we're entering into with the various opportunities that are forthcoming. And, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your grace, and we thank you for our time, O God, together with you and your word. And bless your people. Give them a great weekend, this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for those that have served and have given their lives so that we could enjoy what we did today in this facility, the freedoms to worship you openly, Lord. And we just bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you. Hug somebody before you leave.